that's just a little bit about it. Again, my style is a storyteller. So I am going to start out with a story from the Bible, but before I get there, it comes from 2 Kings chapter 19, and it deals with the prophet Elijah. And if you don't know about the prophet Elijah, this is coming immediately after that great miracle we had, where he challenged the 450 prophets of Baal to a showdown. And the prophets of Baal built an altar, built their altar, they took their bull, they prepared everything, and they stood out there and prayed all day. And Elijah starts mocking them and everything because they're not getting any results. And so finally at the end of the day, Elijah goes out, he builds his altar, prepares his sacrifice, and then after it's done, he says, hey, dump some water on it. Dump some more water on it. Dump some more, because he dug a trench around it and filled the ditch with water and soaked this thing down, and it says, fire fell from heaven, consumed the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the soil, and all the water in the ditch. And the Israelites all found themselves face down on the ground. And I would have probably been there right with them, because I'm sure this was terrifying. Wrap it up, the 450 prophets of Baal all got killed. Queen Jezebel was not a happy camper. And she threatened, she told Elijah, she says, if you're alive by this time tomorrow, then there's something wrong, because I am going to kill you. And that's where I'm going to pick up this story, in 2 Kings chapter 19, starting in verse 5. Because Elijah took off. He ran and he hid. He wakes up and there's an angel there that says, here's some food for you. He travels 40 days and 40 nights with just that food, a distance of about 200 miles to Mount Horeb, which was where Moses had gotten the Ten Commandments. And this is where we're going to pick up the story. And the word of the Lord came to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword, and I am the only one that's left. And now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on a mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass you by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in a fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. The voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. And that's where I'm going to start reading. We all want God to talk to us. Hopefully we all talk to God. Hopefully it's not only, oh God, help me out here, something's going wrong. But I find myself talking to God a lot. And what I'm going to try to do as a storyteller today is tell you how I think God likes to speak to me and hopefully speak to you. When we want God to speak to us, I'm sure we want a great big sign. God, show me exactly what to do. Spell it out for me. But he doesn't always do it that way. Instead, he speaks to us through that gentle whisper and often asks us, what are you doing here? Why are you here? You know, another story that comes to mind is there was a man who bought his dream house on the banks of a river. Well, the problem with buying his dream house on the banks of a river is sometimes rivers flood. And sure enough, the river started to flood. And the guy comes by in a pickup truck and says, hey, hop in the truck, I'll get you to safety. He goes, nope, God's got this, he'll take care of it. And the water continued to rise. A little bit later, a guy comes by in a boat and says, hey, water's starting to get high, how about you jump? care of it. Well, the water came up, and the fire department shows up in their Zodiac boat. Says, jump in, we'll take you to safety. It's not safe here. The water's coming up. He goes, God's got this. Water came up some more, and a helicopter flies over. Drops a rope ladder to the guy and says, climb on the rope ladder, we'll take you to safety. He goes, nope, God's got this. And about that time, there's a horrendous crash, and the water house gets swept away in the flood, and the man drowns. Finds himself standing before God, and he says, God, I was so certain you were going to help me. Why didn't you? And the Lord looks at him and said, look, I sent a pickup truck, two boats, and a helicopter. What more do you want from me? And it's those still small voices that I want to talk to you about. Looking back, in about 2010, our Sunday school superintendent decided he didn't want to be the superintendent anymore. And the nominating committee came to me and said, would you consider being the Sunday school superintendent? And I said yes, because again, that was one of those things that sounded good at the time, but I hadn't really thought it through. And after I said yes, and Chris found out I said yes, she says, do you realize you've got to get up there in front of those people and talk every Sunday before Sunday school? I go, what? And I wasn't prepared for that. So I did what a lot of people do, and I went out and I bought myself a book. I went up to the bookstore and I found this book that's called Then Sings My Soul, 150 of the World's Greatest Hymn Stories. And it's a good book. Joni's probably read it. And it's amazing to go through this book because we sing these songs, we hear these songs, but do we ever stop to think about the background stories of these songs? What made that person write that song at that time? What was coming across their minds? In my life, I have my life verse, which is Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. But my life hymn, if I have one right now, is Make Me a Blessing. And I like to sing that song, except I don't like the chorus of that song. Make Me a Blessing just goes too high in the chorus. Sorry. But it's a wonderful song that says, out on the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. And as a storyteller, that's what I like to try to do with people. I like to try to tell them stories to encourage them. And it's how God speaks to me. And after I went through this hymn, this book, and I used several of the stories, I got a little bit more confident, and I started looking around at how God speaks to me. Things that he gives to me, and if you've ever been here on Sunday mornings for Sunday school with me, I give a little sermonette. And it's usually about 5-10 minutes unless I get distracted, which I sometimes do. But often we'll be on our way here, and Chris is like, well, what are you going to talk about today? I go, not sure yet. Got a couple ideas bouncing around in there. And I have this ability that God has given me to share the things that I observe and to use them to show you, hopefully, how you can relate to people and tell them about the Lord. So with that said and done, what I'm going to probably do for the next few minutes is tell you some of the ones that I've used over the years. And these are some of the stories I've used. And the first one I can remember presenting was I talked about a plant called jewelweed. Marcia knows what jewelweed is. Marcia uses jewelweed in her soap and stuff. It's a weed that grows. And people are like, how can jewelweed tell you about God? Well, if you've ever been around jewelweed, it gets these little seed pods. And they're really neat because when they're really, really ripe and you barely touch them, they curl up and explode and throw the seeds everywhere. And that's what we should be as Christians. We should have so much build up in front of us that when people even start to come near us, we should just be ready to explode and spread the word of God everywhere. And that was one of the first sermonettes I gave in front of the Sunday school that talked about how we should be with God. Continuing in the vein of weeds, one of my other favorites came in 2018 when I told about what's called the Toledo Christmas weed. And has anybody ever heard of the Toledo Christmas weed? It's a really cool story because in 2018, at a very busy traffic intersection in Toledo, Ohio, a weed grew. And I'm not talking a little weed. This was a shrub-sized weed. It got pretty tall. A family was on their way home from church. They saw this weed, and somebody jokingly referred, "That looks like the Charlie Brown Christmas tree," which gave the dad an idea. He stops at Walgreens, they buy tinsel, and they go back and decorate the weed. Making it as a joke, everybody's going to laugh, the Charlie Brown tree. It took off. Somebody else goes up and adds ornaments to the tree. Somebody else showed up and added lights to the tree. Somebody put a tree skirt around the tree. They said somebody tried to steal the tree, and they put a dead potted plant there and decorated it. Pretty soon there's a collection box collecting toys with a Santa Claus standing at this busy intersection in Toledo. And what people started to take as a joke, something that nobody would pay any attention to this weed, became something that brought the spirit of Christmas back to Toledo and actually to the world. Because now they have a Toledo Weed Festival, I think, every year at Christmas time. And it is, and it's ways that God talks to us saying, "You think it's just a weed?" It's not just a weed. It's something more than that. I like to build plastic scale models, much to my wife's dismay sometimes, I think. When I say I like it, considering I have cabinets that have about 300 of them in there right now, I have a bad habit. But one of the times I'd also like, my son started to build models at one time. And he did okay. He didn't paint them or anything. He glued them together. But the thing is, I found out that after he moved out and left them behind, I took the models he had and I redid them. I made them look the way they probably should have. And it turned out one of the models he built was a model of a Japanese plane. And as I redid it, researching the color scheme, I found out that it was a plane that had flown over Pearl Harbor. They had a really interesting color scheme. So I did a little bit of research. And as I was doing this research, I found out about a man by the name of Mitsu Fujita, who was the pilot. He wasn't the pilot, but he was in the airplane that led the attack on Pearl Harbor. He's the one that fired off the flare that says, "Okay, go ahead and attack." He's the one that made the famous radio call sign, "Tora, Tora, Tora," that we've attacked the Japanese Americans at Pearl Harbor. And this man was a very devout samurai, Bushido code type warrior. He was wounded at the Battle of Midway. He had appendicitis, or he probably would have been killed in one of the planes. He broke his ankles getting off the aircraft carrier. He went, survived the war, probably because he broke his ankles and had to go back to Japan. But at the end of the war, he gets called in by the Americans to help testify against some of these Japanese who committed horrible atrocities against the American POWs. And it made him mad. And the reason it made him mad was he was sure that the Americans had been just as bad to the Japanese POWs as they were to the American POWs. And then he went to a naval base where they were returning some Japanese prisoner of war. And one of the prisoners of war turned out to be one of his people that he would have been in the plane with at Midway. And he greeted this guy and he says, "Tell me, how badly did the Americans treat you?" Because he wanted to justify everything. And the guy looked at him and said, "They didn't." He said, "They treated me." As a matter of fact, there was one woman, and her name was Peggy Cavell. And Peggy Cavell was the daughter of American missionaries in the Philippines. And when the Japanese captured the Philippines, they murdered her parents. And she knew that they murdered her parents. But she went and she ministered to these Japanese POWs. She probably spoke maybe some Japanese for being in Asia. And she took care of them and brought them food. He goes, "Wait a minute." His Bushido code that he agreed said, if somebody does you wrong, revenge, 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 revenge. That's the only way to regain your honor, was to do revenge. And here's this woman whose parents had been murdered and she's taking care of him. She's helping out. Then a little bit later, he's in Tokyo, and he gets handed his pamphlet. And the pamphlet was written by another American, and his name was Jacob DeShaver. Jacob DeShaver was one of the airmen who was on the Doolittle Raid when we bombed Tokyo. And he had been a prisoner of war of the Japanese. And instead of hating the Japanese for what they did, he had written pamphlets and he was trying to convert these Japanese to Christianity because, and this all just blew this guy's mind. He had no idea, so he thought, I'm going to examine this. And so he sat down and he read a Bible. Long story short, he ended up writing a book that was called From Pearl Harbor to Calvary and became an evangelical minister and a very devout Christian. And it was all because these two people, instead of hating him for what the Japanese had done to them and their families, were showing the love and compassion that we should all show. Last story I kind of have with for you talks about synthetic diamonds. And I shared this one at a deacon meeting that we had. Because you guys know what synthetic lab-grown diamonds are. It takes about 2 weeks to grow a diamond in the laboratory. I was looking through the news feed this week, and a woman was talking about Earth Day and about real Earth diamonds that take billions of years to get here. It takes billions of years for these diamonds to form, which kind of made me chuckle because I don't know. I don't believe the Earth is billions of years old. If I read my Bible right and do the math, I'll give you maybe 100,000 at the most. According to the Bible, it's about 10,000 years old. But God can take these diamonds, this carbon, and compress it and put it under pressure. And they're saying it takes billions of years for the Earth to do it, but we can do it in 3 weeks in a laboratory. Why are we doubting what God can do? To wrap all this up, I do have a few verses that I go through. Because as you look around, we're saying, yeah, but how does God talk to us? Does God speak to us? And the Bible several times does mention times when if we keep quiet, hey, the earth's going to make noise for us. In Psalms chapter 98, verse 7 through 8, it says, let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Did you ever see a river clap its hands? Did you ever hear a mountain singing to God? And we're all like, no, I mean... I'm sure if I was walking down the path and I went to step over a rock and said, hey, buddy, watch us. Why is that rock talking to me? Why are those trees? Probably freak us out a little bit. But the Bible says that if we keep quiet, they'll make the noise for us. And they do. And as a storyteller, that's what I found. Because I look around at sin and say, how's God speaking to us through this? Moving on through Isaiah chapter 55, verse 12, which everybody knows, should know this one. You will go out for joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Again, are they literally going to maybe speak in voices we don't hear? Probably not, but all creation glorifies God. Matthew chapter 6, verses 28 through 33. Another one. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the fields grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in his splendor was dressed like one of these. That is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire. Will he not much more clothe you? And finally, this one came and a few weeks ago when we had Palm Sunday. And they were talking about Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And the Pharisees were upset because all these people were exclaiming that Jesus was this great warrior. in Luke chapter 19, verse 39. Some of the Pharisees of the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." How does God talk to us? When he does talk to us, are we listening? All creation tells us of the glory of God. And as a storyteller, I hope I haven't been too boring today. But when you go out, and maybe storytelling isn't your evangelism style, but when you are out there in the world looking at the things going on, we can complain about them, or we can look at them and say, how is God speaking to us? What message is he sharing with us that he wants us to share with maybe everybody else? So my challenge as I wrap this up today is, for maybe as you go out, instead of looking and seeing maybe just the bad things, see how God has talked to us. See the messages he does want us to share. Be the witness that he wants us to be. Make us a blessing to somebody today. And we can be a blessing in so many different ways. And oftentimes we don't even realize what blessings we are. But yet again, that's God speaking to us and speaking through us to the world. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this message. Lord, we ask that you make us blessings to this world. Help us to have the courage and the ability to share our faith with others and just pray for this fallen world. We praise you so much for the ways that you speak to us in ways that we don't even see. But we thank you and we praise you for them. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Page 134, My Jesus, I Love You.
If you are a member, I please encourage you to stay for the business meeting that will follow.